If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit one on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. Thank you. We will now take our first question from Stefan Böhm of Commerzbank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Three questions, please. The first one would be on the general trading conditions. Maybe you could comment here on the regional developments in Europe, in Asia, in America, and maybe you can comment here on both division systems and robotics. The second one would be to better understand the mix effect in the third quarter. So could you split your general industry and automotive sales in the robotics division in Q3? And the last one would be on the R&D costs. I think they marked also a record for a single quarter, and maybe you could comment on this single position. Is there a specific product in the pipeline, or do you expect a similar level in Q4, and what would be the run rate for 2014? Thank you.
Let me start with trading competition and talk about the mix, which we go on. Trading conditions, I think, as mentioned, what we see is KUKA, we are, as most of our customers, we are a global company, so we are in all three hubs in all three regions at home. What we see is that in the U.S., we see a high demand from our customers. So we see for the robotics and also for systems side a good momentum and further growth potential in Americas, including North and South America. We have some discussion, about opportunity. We have to also look at Brazil because in South America there are increased or discussion about having more plants in South America, which we also could benefit from. For China, China is the biggest robotic market, market share of close to 20% for KUKA Robotics, and also the presence of systems is growing with big contracts with German OEMs in China. Also in China, we see further growth potential. Chinese economy is stable, growing. We are benefiting from increasing labor costs. We're benefiting from quality requirements. So in U.S. and also in China, we have a huge potential. Europe, clearly, Europe is more of a challenge. In robotics, we are in both divisions stable in Europe, but we clearly see, compared to other industries, that Europe is in 13 more challenge, and also for 14, Europe will be more flat development. We don't see any big negative changes, but Europe will be a challenge compared to the other two regions. On the mix effect in the third quarter, I think it was I was telling you that in the third quarter we had in total we had let me just go back to the we had 62% coming from GI and service, so it means that then 38% close to 40 or 38% is coming from automotive. That also clearly is a good development. Both parts, service, and GI were growing 5 and 6% respectively. So a good development. You can see that the strategic direction in growing in GI really helps to level out any development on the automotive side. On the R&D cost, Peter will help you.
Yeah. R&D, innovation has a strategic importance for us. So for us, it's clear that we have to invest Till Reuters said in his speech, that we invest today into the products of tomorrow. That compared to our second strategic goal, that we want to grow in general industry, that implies that we have to increase our R&D efforts. And general industry means more R&D efforts for special customers or for special branches. And in quarter three, there are two main reasons why R&D costs in PLL are higher. First is our headcount increased. We increased headcount significantly. And the second is that we capitalized only 17% of our R&D costs. Last year, it was more or less around 30%. and the rate of capitalization always depends on which projects we are working on and in which stage we are working on the projects. For example, if we are in research on research projects, then we cannot capitalize, and if we are working more in development phases, then there is an opportunity to capitalize it. And currently, that's why we that's the explanation, the main reasons why we had a higher R&D in the quarter three in the P&L. And if we look into the future, it will be on that level more or less. We are committed to invest in further in R&D. Somehow,
the level of 2013.
If you compare it to revenues, perhaps, then we are now, if you compare it to the total KUKA revenues, we are around 3% with our R&D investment, and next year it might be more between 3 and 3.5%.
Okay, thank you, that's clear. Maybe a quick follow-on on the mix for 2014. Any indication you could give us in the direction of the mix in robotics? Is it also 60-40 for general industry?
I think just to come back, the 60, we have the 62% including GI and service and 38 automotive. You know, our clear goal is to further increase the GI stake in next year. We have all the measures taken to grow in this area. You know, we are benefiting from the great demand in automotive. And I think today it's still the 50-50 which we have, we all see big automotive contracts again coming. So I would today calculate with the 50-50 or see the 50-50, but clearly midterm GI will further grow. So I think it's more like a 15, not 14-15 goal to be maybe 55-45, but it's not 4-14.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Hermann Reis of BHF Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. One question. Mr. Reuter, you mentioned that in the last 2-3 months the behavior of the Japanese competitors did not change. However, year on year there was a change towards a more the aggressive pricing, aggressive targeting of new orders. That means that you should have felt in the third quarter these aggressive stance of the competitors. Can we assume that the current around 275 order backlog has a little lower pricing quality? And can we assume that 275 have at least a 10% margin?
You know, I would not say aggressive pricing, which I did not talk. I think we have a much more active pricing discussion. I think most important is that if we're selling robot, we're not selling naked products, we are selling solutions. So it's always, we're talking with the plant. For example, if you talk with an automotive customer, we're talking with the plant people who are running the robot daily. We are talking to the R&D people and also with the salespeople, and their price is one factor out of a couple of factors, clearly one of the important factors. So I think we have a more active discussion on pricing. We have a different price environment than last year, but not say it's an aggressive pricing. As announced last call, what we see is that we have for this year the guidance robotic of 10% EBIT margin, and what we also mentioned in August in our call that due to the impact of the yen, we see for 2014 EBIT margin, it could be slightly lower than 10% because of the yen impact and because of the impact that we were going to invest further in R&D, because long-term the investment in R&D will pay off by further revenue increase and by potential in 2015, 2016, 2017.
So, and for these 275, can we assume that they allow a 10% margin?
I think they should be in the region of 10%.
Okay.
No big change.
Yeah. Perhaps also a following question. You mentioned that you are, say, in front of the negotiation of a new frame contract order. When can we assume, say, the announcement of that? Your participation in that?
I did not mention any particular contract. You know, as I can, since our customers are producing cars around the globe in different regions, and but we have lots of customers. We have also contracts which we are discussing. There's no particular contract which we you know have are fighting for now. We have different talking with different customers, so nothing you should wait for, like something is coming tomorrow. Clearly we have running discussions, but nothing which we could refer to here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move to our next question from Lucy Carrier of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. This is Lucy from Morgan Stanley. A couple of questions on my side. First of all, coming back to the next year guidance that you gave this morning with kind of flat sales and flat margin. I mean, you said the backlog was strong. You were also speaking of good demand in the U.S. and Asia, but you're not expecting any upside from revenue and margin. So my question is why no upside, and especially because also your GI share is increasing, especially in robotics. So that's my first question.
Okay, Lucy. I think we are in November 2013, and I asked you about the guidance. I want to give an indication where I today see the business for next year on the conservative side and how you today's judgment. We clearly have potential, and you have mentioned a couple of potentials. We do see strong demand in America, in the U.S. and in Brazil. We will benefit from our strong position in the U.S., clearly one of the pluses. We see a great demand from China, and the question is how big China is picking up. Today we have 20% of revenue in robotics from China, and the question how much growth do we see in China? Is it 7%? Is it over 10%? I think that is one of the clearly double pluses. Also in systems we see that China is a big potential. Not the same as in robotics, but a little bit less potential in robotics. And then we have our GI push, and cooperation like Siemens will take off not only in 14, but in 15 and 16. And also Argulus being 1,000, you know, we're going to go whatever to 3,500 to 4,000. So that's something which is going to be better in 14, but as a long-term trend. So lots of pluses. On the minus side, we have seen that the VDMR numbers for Europe are zero. So and we're expecting that the industry in Europe is picking up a little bit more than in 13. But I think also as our customers, we are growing very much outside of Germany, outside of Europe. And therefore, in Europe, we have to be efficient. And that's also the cost program we have. We have to remain efficient in Europe. We don't see any big changes, but we have to be careful. Is it plus minus 3 to 5% in Europe? That's something which we today have in our mind, and therefore in total, plus Americas, plus China, and you know, a zero with a slight minus in Europe, and therefore in total, at today's point, we confirm we see a same potential in 14 as in 13. And we also believe on this level that we can have a margin comparable to 2013. Being on the long-term side, much more bullish, because long-term, we clearly see that in robotics we have much more potential with the growth of robotics by something between 5 and 10% for the market. And systems, more like close to 2 to 3%.
Okay, just on system, should you follow up on that? A question, I mean, could you give a bit more details on the $250 million order that you got in the U.S. back in August in terms of the timing for the booking and potentially the delivery, and whether this order is expected to be, I would say, margin accretive compared to the current margin levels that you're already achieving in systems?
You know, I think on systems, we talked about in the last call because of this. I think the contract came slightly prior to our last call. So it's, you know, in U.S., after the acquisition of Utica, we are serving all three big customers, so GM, Ford, and Chrysler. The contract of $250 million is a contract which is lasting is lasting 2 to 3 years. So it's nothing which is coming only in 14, so it's going 13, 14, and 15, 3 years. And as mentioned, we see the margin development in systems as sustainable. So we are close to 6% in the third quarter. For the full year, we are fully in line with our guidance of 5.5%, and also for 2014 we see further potential in the direction which we have delivered in the third quarter. So systems stable on high level, and also margin, we see a little bit more potential for the next year in systems.
Okay, and then my last question may be just on the free cash flow guidance. I mean, you are practically after three quarters. You have actually exceeded the level that you had talked about during the last call, which was, I think, around more 40 million. Should we actually expect a significant outflow in the fourth quarter after the third quarter being very strong from a free cash flow perspective?
No, please don't expect that. we believe that we will be at that level minimum. It always depends. There are two parts. The first is that we did our homework, what Till Reuter mentioned before, improved payment conditions and working capital management. But the second is a little bit unpredictable when we get advanced payments from customers, mm-hmm. and especially at the system side, if there comes a 20 million prepayment in the quarter or in the next, well, it does make a big difference. But in general, we expect that cash flow will be at the level minimum at the 80 million level for this year.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. We will move to our next question from Tim Rokossa of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. That would be three, please. First of all, I know this is still very early for you, but I still want to come back to the guidance to some extent. Maybe asking it a bit differently. When we look at your order intake and also what you have just described about the potential possibilities for next year, if your top line was to remain flat, do you still see potential to increase your margins? Or do you rather say then we're looking for a scenario where it will be down because of the cost increases that you just went through? And then secondly, on your Chinese order intake, you're now saying you see local Chinese OEMs increasingly investing into automation as well. This plus 70%, is that still mainly from Western European OEMs, you said? Or is that also already local Chinese guys starting to invest? And then as a final question, just to clarify that, on the systems margin, you're saying this is now a sustainable level. Are you talking about the full year margin, or are you talking about this close to 6% being pretty much the new run rate? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rokossa. You know, I think on the guidance side, as you mentioned, it's early, but you know, since we're expecting the questions, I think we also want to give some ideas about how we see 2014. We talked about the good things, China, North America, more flat Europe. We clearly believe in the mid- to long-term growth potential of robotic-based automation, as shown with Siemens, as shown in China, about the labor increasing labor costs, which are benefiting our business model. Besides the good things, and we want to be at the same level as this year on the revenue side, on the margin side, we are going to further invest in R&D, so level comparable to 2013, full level, not take the third quarter times four, but just full level of 2013, a little bit higher, but the same levels. And then you should also have a potential impact from the end side. So in total, we see that systems can be a little bit better margin-wise, and robotics can be a little bit more challenged in 2014, and therefore, overall, we see that the margin will develop in the same region as in 2013. We clearly see more potential, but I think its guidance is something which we believe we will at least reach, and therefore that is our view on 2014 as of today. Very important, 14 we see a big potential, huge potential, also 15, 16, because of our R&D, with our products which we have in the pipeline, we clearly will benefit on the industrial side. China, what you see is clearly it's a mix. Still, I think global OEMs have a bigger share, but the local OEMs in China are increasing to invest into their flexibility and also in their innovation. And therefore, today very much driven still by the global European and US OEMs, but the share of local Chinese OEMs is increasing, and we expect it to further increase. On the systems, we have full year 5.5. We have shown now 5.9%. We see a sustainable, clearly on 5.5, and I think we can give you more clarity on this coming year. But we see that systems has more potential than the 5.5.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next question from Richard Schramm of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Just a small one concerning the Utica activities. So I have not found any figures on this one, how they influenced the results for the 9 months. Maybe you can give us an indication for this. And also, I was a bit surprised on back of this acquisition that your sales target still remains at 1.8 billion. I would have expected here a somewhat higher figure, at least from this side. So going forward, this would mean that on an adjusted basis, business obviously then would be even weaker than expected. Is this correct, or is there still big uncertainty of the final outcome here, what projects you might be able to invoice in Q4 from this side? Thank you.
Thank you. I think Utica is we announced that we have acquired Utica in the second quarter report. You know, Utica is somewhat which we have to stabilize or to get our number one position in the U.S. So it's part of the systems business. Utica is, of course, it's integrated into our systems North America operations. And, the integration process is very successful. And it helps us to confirm our guidance of having revenues around 1.8 billion. some of the revenues coming from Utica, but only a small portion today, and we see the potential out of Utica also in the future. So getting one new customer and some products are coming from Utica. We have to see how we integrate them, which of the products we are going to have global, can sell globally. So we are in this process of the post-merger integration, but it's not a huge acquisition. It helps us in strengthening our piece in Americas. For the full year, we confirmed the 1.8. I think in Utica helps us to be a little bit more sound here, that we will be around 1.8.
Just to clarify, if I have noted down correctly, the full year sales of Utica are not so small at all. It should be in the area of about 80 million for a full year, if I'm correct. It should give then some support for next year also when you have a full consolidation there. Now, is it correct to assume that the better margin you expect from systems going forward would be also get a strong support here from this acquisition, or is it more related to the CMA issue you mentioned where you get a lower cost basis here?
I think it's a mix. First of all, let me clarify that the revenue from Utica side on the euro side is approximately 25 to 30 million euro for 2013. For next year, we got it in April in, so it's only part of the year. The acquisition is margin accretive, as we mentioned, so it's helping on the margin side, the Utica project. And I think third is, it's mixed, really CMA in Romania is helping to have a low-cost sourcing, and the sustainable margin at systems are a mix out of clearly the market, the number one position, which also helps on new contracts, and not only the Utica contracts, but it's helping for the future to have the stable position in the U.S. The deal is accretive, and the margin level of 5.5 and now 5.9 is clearly a result of all this together, including our efficiency program.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now move to our next question from Jasper Terzic of DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Three questions left from my side. The first one is, could you give us any indication regarding any burdens to your FX exposure with the US dollar? Secondly, order intake in Q4. Could you give us an indication what do you expect in Q4 as Dürr has shown weaker orders for Q3 now? Is it anything you also experience, or are you experiencing something else? And finally, the Agilus. If I remember it correctly, you were targeting above 1,000 units sold in 2013. So could you give us a feeling what number you will achieve? And also an indication, what is your expectation for 2014 regarding Agilus unit sales?
Then I will start with FX. There is no specific US dollar burden we have. It's $1 or $2 million. If the US dollar would have not changed this year, it would have not really had a big influence.
Okay, for Q4, I think as mentioned in my notes is something we are expecting that we have a book-to-bill of over one, which gives you some indication of where the order intake is. You know, in principle, the fourth quarter is always a revenue-strong quarter and not 100% an order intake quarter. But I think what we are expecting is so the book-to-bill should give you a good guidance where we are. On the Agilus, as mentioned, we have already sold 1,000 Agilus year to date, so expecting something between 1,100 and 1,200 for the full year of Agilus. And clearly the goal is that in this market we are going up to 3,000 to 4,000 Agilus in the next years. So I think the target for next year should be above 1,500, maybe close to 2,000 Agilus. That is will be one of the clear targets for the team for next year.
Thanks. That's helpful.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now move to our next question from Sebastian Ubert of UBS. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. One question from my side regarding China. Can you give us an update on where you stand here going into the general industry and here in particular the electronics industry? And the second question I would have on the system side is, where do we stand here in terms of bringing this business into a joint venture structure? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. You know, China is really also, if you said automotive was helping at the beginning, that China is growing very fast and we have a strong position. And China is in different areas very strong. Clearly on the CNC area, China is strong, and therefore it's one of the markets we are looking, but also we're looking at glass and foundry. Electronics, one of the segments, if we look at all our tablets and mobile phones, electronic market, I think the majority of the production facilities for electronic products is in China. We see something is to be reshored to U.S., but the majority of electronic production is in China. Agilus also, again, Agilus is one of the products which is benefiting from the development in electronics/3C. It's all about communication and also consummation. And therefore, it's one of our markets, and it's an increased part of our market, and we're looking in China into this market. We'll see that this market is growing faster compared to other markets. On the system side, you know, we are strong. We are number one in automotive, and we are looking at other markets. One of the markets we are growing on our own is the aerospace market, where we developed a business, and we have a three-digit million number in aerospace planned for the future. But we clearly look also for acquisitions to have a more diversified portfolio. We have ongoing discussions about potential targets, but there's nothing which is in a phase or in a stadium where we can disclose anything.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Stefan Augustin of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. One question on the fourth quarter and the robotics business. Typically, the seasonality is that you have a decline, a quarter-on-quarter decline of order intake and sales in the fourth quarter over third quarter, at least in the last 2 years. Is there anything what makes us believe or think that this should not be this case in 2013? The next one is I fail a little bit to fully grasp the potential of the Siemens cooperation here. Can you shed some light a little bit on this? What kind of new products would you develop or why? This special cooperation here is driving your sales, even in the midterm. And the final one is I noticed that your depreciation levels are a little bit up in the third quarter. Is there anything unusual behind this? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the fourth quarter. I think it's, the fourth quarter, as mentioned, we have a book-to-bill. We are going towards to be close to one for the book-to-bill ratio. It gives you some indication where we see the fourth quarter. I think more important as a number is clearly the trend. So we see a stable trend of robot-based automation. We don't see any uncertainties, and therefore this trend remains stable, also given the negotiations we are currently in. So 2013 should be no so big surprise in the fourth quarter. Siemens KUKA Corporation is a very important topic from an industry perspective and on the potential of automation. On the one hand, you have a CNC machine working on steel parts, on parts, and same is also, you can also apply it to a plastic machine. You have machines which are loaded and unloaded, which are manually unloaded, and there's a big trend to automation and to much more efficient plant management and to much more efficient production if you have an automized loading and unloading, and if you combine the features of the CNC or a plastic machine with the possibilities and the potential of a robot. And exactly where Siemens and KUKA are working together, and you know that Fanuc is also competition on the CNC side, and here together with Siemens we have products which in the end we have something where we compete against Fanuc on a global level. It shows just some numbers. The CNC market, approximately 500,000 CNC machines are sold annually. Only 2% are automized, so sold including robots for loading and unloading. And we see a huge potential that this percentage is increasing in the future, and that more CNC machines are sold including a robot. And you can run the machines 24 hours. One robot can maybe load, unload two or three machines. And there's a huge potential of cooperation, just as word as industry 4.0, because you have the integration of different machines through software, and the robot is helping in having a more efficient collaboration within machines. On depreciation?
Depreciation, there are two main reasons. First is that we invested in tangible assets to increase our capacity. The investments are finalized, not in Shanghai so far, but in the other regions, and there the depreciation kicks in. And the same is for the second area, that is the intangible assets. I mentioned before that there is a capacity increase and that we are capitalizing less. But a second part is that for finished products, now the depreciation started. And our lifetime so far for capitalized R&D costs, when we amortize them, is 3 years, and then immediately a significant amount increases depreciation.
So is the 11 million rather something we have to figure in for the next quarters to run through as a part of this is, let's say, sustainable?
Yeah, what we said before, our R&D level in general will be a little higher next year, and we expect this year something like 50 or 55 million as an R&D budget, and next year it will be a little higher.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
What we capitalize and not, that depends on what we mentioned, which projects we are working at.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. As a further reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's Q&A session. I would now like to turn the call back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much for your questions. If you have further questions, please feel free to contact us. And yeah, we wish you all a nice afternoon. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.